Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Wealthability for CPAs show. Better clients, better practice, better life. Here's Tom Wheelwright.
Welcome to the Wealthability show for CPAs, where we're always discovering how to build better clients, a better practice, and a better life. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, your host, founder, and CEO of the Wealthability Network. So let's face it, folks, most CPAs are average. I guess by definition, most of anybody's average, but most CPAs are average. I actually am afraid that a lot of CPAs are beyond average, they're mediocre. But rather than go into that, here's the thing. If we're an average CPA, okay, and that's okay for a lot of people, not okay if you're part of the Wealth Building Network, but okay, if you want to be average, that's one thing. But I find that most CPAs don't really want to be average. They want to be excellent. And so we have a very special show today. You're going to want to listen to this multiple times, watch this multiple times, because what you're going to find out is how do you go from average to excellent? So we're not talking about going from good to great. We're talking about going from average to excellent. And we have a very special guest, Zach Friedman. Zach is the best-selling author of The Lemonade Life. And Zach, it is great to have you on the Wealthability Show for CPAs. Thank you for joining us.
Tom, it's great to be here.
So, okay, Zach. So let's just start with you. All right. So you've got this amazing resume. Tell us, just give us a minute of why you talk about The Lemonade Life and what it is that you hope to change and help people change in their lives.
Absolutely, Tom. So the Lemonade Life essentially is about every day, all of us, whether we have a lot of money, a little money, regardless of what we do for a living, where we come from, I truly believe that everyone has a shot at greatness. And so every day we're all choosing to live one of two lives, the lemon life or the lemonade life. And the lemon life, 99% of people are stuck there, not necessarily because they want to be, just because reality is they're stuck there. And the lemon life is built on a few things. It's built on pretending, it's built on settling, and it's built on chasing. And because 99% of people are there, they all kind of interact with each other and they all kind of reinforce those limitations and boundaries. And so they're stuck living this lemon life. But there's a better life, and it's a life that essentially is an exclusive club, but everybody has access to it. And it's called the lemonade life. And the lemonade life is built on two things. It's built on purpose and possibility. Purpose is the underlying reason why you do what you do. It's the reason you get up every single morning, right? It's the why in your life. And possibility is endless opportunity. And when you marry purpose and possibility and you do it through action, that's how you transition from being stuck in a lemon life and moving towards a lemonade life.
Okay, so this is really interesting, Zach. So I kid you not, just less than a week ago, I'm teaching a class for CPAs and we are talking about the why. Okay, so we're talking about that purpose. So if you would, let's start with what does that even mean? You know, the why or the purpose? I mean, how do you distill that down? Please, for an accountant, okay, how do you distill that down? What is the why? In other words, and how do you discover that why?
So most people are focused naturally, right? I think it's human nature on the what and the how. So what I mean by that is we're focused on what we want to achieve and how we want to do it, right? We want to run a marathon. And so we say, in order to do that, we have to practice. We have to run a little each week and then more and more and more and more until we can run 26 miles. The why is the underlying reason why you're running that marathon. Right? What's motivating you to do it? Is it personal accolade? Is it raising money for an important charity? Is it because you want to prove it to yourself? Is it because you want to prove it to others who said you can never run more than 15 feet? It's understanding who you are as a person and connecting every single thought and action that you have to some purpose, some reason behind the actions that you take. It's an enormously difficult task. It's not just as simple as saying, okay, my purpose is, we need to actually take time to reflect on it, right? And it's not something that will come immediately. But one exercise I like, which is sounds very simple in practice, but it's not. It's not just you and I sitting right here and coming up with, okay, this is our purpose. You know, I do this for X, Y, and Z. Take some time, 30 minutes to start, be alone in a room, take out a piece of paper or even on your phone, and just write down three words, my purpose is. And you're really trying to get to, again, the reasoning, like what motivates you? What's intrinsically inside of you that gets you excited every single morning to get up? Are you excited to get up every morning? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a CPA, but maybe you don't really want to be a CPA. Maybe mom and dad wanted you to be a CPA, or that's what your friends were doing in college and you thought it was a good thing to do. Like, are you actually motivated every single day that you wake up and excited to go to work? I mean, that's a question I think fundamentally we tend to just like gloss over because a lot of people are unhappy in their work. But why do you get up every morning? Do you love serving clients? Do you love, you know, coming up with, you know, being creative, or are there other reasons why you do
it? I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to interrupt you because I want to ask you this question. You go, okay, do you love serving clients? What is it? What about the why behind the why?
Okay. Absolutely.
To me, there's a level deeper than this, you know, you know, and you got to it a little bit, I think, when you said, do I want to run the marathon? Because everybody always told me I couldn't run 15 feet, or they said, you can't run. They told you can't do something. Okay. And then even then I'd go, why do you care if somebody tells you can't do something? So there's actually seems to me like this is a bit of an onion problem, right?
It absolutely is an onion problem. And when I said to start out with those three words, what you'll find during that exercise, again, starting with 30 minutes that you can go as long as you want or doing it on different days, is really exactly what you said, Tom, is getting to the why behind the why. So you might say, my purpose is, you know, I want to prove to others that I can actually run. Okay, well, why do you want to do that? Okay, because, you know, when I was growing up, people said I couldn't achieve anything. Well, why did they say that? What does that mean about you? You know, what can you learn about yourself? And I think the more that you're willing to be vulnerable, the more you're willing to be self-reflective, you really get to a point of what really drives you as a human being. And you get to a much deeper level. And I think the people who can achieve that, again, it's not easy to do. They tend to connect, again, that purpose and possibility. So all of us can aim for goals or try to achieve certain things that we don't have today, but that we want tomorrow. But until we really understand who we are as people, it's hard to actually get to that final finish line for most people.
You make a good point because, so I spent several years, one of my mentors is Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he's actually a personal mentor. I mean, very fortunate that I get to talk to him on a weekly basis. And what he's really, one of the things he's taught me is that business is about personal development. It's much more about personal development than it is about business development. And I think this is one of the struggles we have, particularly in the financial services profession, is we think it's about numbers. We think it's about making money when it's really about who are we and how we can connect with our clients and how do we connect with ourselves. I've got to tell you, you know, I've been in this business for a very long time, and I can't tell you how many people I've met that they didn't even really know why they got up in the morning. I mean, they had to make money. They had to put food on the table. I'm going, why would you do this? You know, to me, of course, life's a lot shorter for me now than it was 40 years ago. But to me, life is too short to be doing something that is not our calling. I love the book, The Happiness Advantage, which I'm sure you've read, where he talks about a calling as opposed to a job, right? Or a career. Yeah. And what I hear you talking about is, you know, what's your calling and why is that your calling?
Absolutely. I gave a TED talk on this, which I would encourage everyone to look at. And it's The Secrets to Happiness at Work. And, you know, we spend up to 70,000 hours of our lives at work. I mean, just think about that for a minute. You know, I can't do something I don't like doing for 15 minutes. I mean, let alone 70,000 hours. Yet we all know people, right? Friends, family, who've been stuck in a job they just don't like. And they do it because, you know, they have to provide for their family, or just because it's too hard to apply to another job, or they'll hope it'll get better, but they don't really take any action to do it. And I think the people that are stuck in that, whether you own your own business, or you're working as a CPA, or you're working for somebody else, if you don't actually love what you do, it becomes very hard to be successful at it. It really, really does. I mean, Robert Kiyosaki is a great example. I mean, he's made a very successful life, not only with Rich Dad Poor Dad, but with his real estate investments and other investments that he's had. And he's really passionate about it. I mean, he really, really understands that business well. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons he's been very successful, right? He's found something that he really
There's no question. You know, I've traveled all over the world with him, and he, mm-hmm. and he'll do these presentations. And like, I've been traveling with him for close to 20 years, mm-hmm. and I'm always amazed by, he's still got the same passion today that he had 20 years ago. And Absolutely. So he really does understand his why. And so I get why that's important. So, okay. So let's say you take that time and you really feel like you can dig deep and figure out the why behind the why behind the why. And now you've got, you know, you have an idea of why you're doing what you're doing, and you've got a purpose, you're driven there. All right. So what's the next step into going from average? I get that's a big part, but that's just step number one, right? What's the next step in going from average to excellent?
So the next step after that is really reprogramming five behaviors that lie within all of us. And so I studied leaders from business to politics, to sports, to religion, and really married together all of kind of the key elements, the key behaviors, the key switches, as I call them in my book. And what I found was that the most successful people in the world had these five series of behaviors. And I think all of us have the opportunity and possibility to flip on those five switches. And when we do, we can move from an average life to an excellent life, from a lemon life to a lemonade life. And the best way to remember those very, very simply is through an acronym, and it's PRISM, P-R-I-S-M. And so P is for perspective, R is for risk, I is for independence, S is for self-awareness, and M is for motion. If you can master all five of those things, and I talk about it in detail in the lemonade life, you have an opportunity to connect your why or your purpose with your possibility. And that's how we become successful.
All right. So let's walk through a little bit of that, if we can, on a very practical basis. So what do you mean when you talk about perspective, for example? You're saying, well, we have to start with perspective. And how do you relate that to your why?
So it really all starts with perspective, right? What's inside your mind more than what's inside your heart is going to drive your actions on a daily basis. A lot of people want to lead with their heart, and that's important. But it starts in your mind, because mind connects to your facts. And if you understand that the world is built with unlimited possibility, I think that's the most important thing you can start with. You're an entrepreneur. Robert Kiyosaki is an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs believe in potential. They believe in possibility. They don't always have a clear roadmap of how to achieve it, right? I mean, those are more of the details. But understanding that the world has unlimited opportunity for everybody, really for everybody. It doesn't matter how much money you have or where you went to school. Everyone has a shot at greatness. And I truly believe that. And that's fundamental to the lemonade life. So understanding first that world is full of potential. There are people who I talk about who live in the lemon life who are called eternal excusers, right? And we've all met these people, right? These are folks who, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what opportunity you present to them, there's always a reason why it cannot happen.
Yeah, but right? let's face it, right now we're going through that as a society. Okay. Yeah, we're in a victim society right now. I mean, let's face it. We've got a lot of things. I'm a victim of an election. I mean, I'm a victim of something that happened years ago. Okay. There's a lot of victimhood going on right now, and it's actually being celebrated. And it's, I think to a large part, it's being rewarded. Okay. So how do you deal with that as it becomes more and more part of the fabric of society, that not only is it okay to be a victim, but you've got people telling you over and over, you're a victim. And what I'm hearing you say is, look, wait a minute. If you're going to have that limited life, you cannot be a victim. You've got to understand that you have the potential, but it's up to you to reach that potential, nobody else.
It's all based on individual responsibility. So eternal excusers don't want to be responsible for their own actions, right? They want to push the blame onto somebody else, right? Somebody else prevented me from doing this, or I wasn't able to become rich because the system's rigged, right? Or, you know, I don't really have opportunities. And so they kind of, you know, almost self-inflict these boundaries, these artificial roadblocks that prevent them from ever moving forward. And I think that's one of the biggest impediments that people have in their life is that fear of creating their own business, right? Starting their own wealth firm or their own wealth network, their own CPA firm. Not that everyone has to be an entrepreneur. You can certainly be successful working for other people, but just having that mindset that you can accomplish anything. You can grow your client base by 30% this year, by 50% this year, versus, well, I can't really take on new clients. I don't have time. Think of all the people I have to manage, or I have to send out more invoices. You know, there's reasons that we can talk ourselves out of doing things rather than talking ourselves into reasons why we can do things, right? And so it really all starts with perspective. I talk about in the book a lot of different stories of folks who kind of focused on mindset and ways that you can improve yourself, whether it's, ways that you start your morning. You know, your morning routine can be incredibly important. And there are a lot of examples in the book in The Lemonade Life about that.
So my mother, who people hear a lot about my mother because she was a great woman. And, you always hear this, well, you need to think outside the box, right? And my mother would say, why do you have a box, right? Get rid of the box. That's the problem. The problem is the box in the first place. Let's get outside that box. And she used to say, for every single problem, there are 50,000 solutions. And we probably only thought of three. Okay. So don't forget that there's the other 49,997 possibilities there. So I love that. I love, P perspective, but maybe P is also possibility. So I love that combination of things. So, all right. So then let's go to R. So what's R again?
So R is risk, right? And it's not so much, are you an entrepreneur who takes a lot of risks, or are you risk averse, right? Most people think of it in that binary way. But in The Lemonade Life, the best way to think about risk is really the relationship between the two. So if you think like something like a risk reward scenario, right? So it's not just like, do I invest in this stock or do I not? It's more understanding, here's my upside opportunity and here's my downside opportunity. And am I willing to take a bet that the upside will be a certain multiple of the downside? And so I think most people shy away from decisions because they're just inherently risk averse, right? But instead, if they look at the relationship between what their upside can be and what their downside can be, they'll understand that no one has perfect, information, right? And so you have to make a decision and determination.
Of course, not doing something is also risky, right?
It can be, certainly.
So, I mean, because if you're not in control, I love this. You keep talking about, you got to be in control of your life. You want personal responsibility. If you're not, then you're taking the risk that other people will be in control of your life, that other people will determine what goes on in your life. And to me, I don't know, to me, that's a much bigger risk. I learned that actually when I was I was in-house tax advisor for a big company. And the very first job I had when I was hired was to let half of my staff go. That was actually my very first responsibility. And it just like dawned on me going, wow, being an employee is a very risky proposition because these people hadn't done anything wrong. This was a forced reduction.
Right.
So having a single client, if you took your financials as a business owner to the bank and they said, okay, so tell me what proportion of your income comes from each client. And you said, well, I have one. Then they're even going to give you a loan. And yet somehow employees think that being an employee is a low risk proposition. To me, you've given up control.
It's a high risk proposition, actually.
It's an extraordinarily high risk proposition. So I love that you're including risk in, how do you make this life better? Because it's not just, it's not just looking at the risk of doing something. Isn't it also the risk of not doing something?
Not doing something. Absolutely. And I think you said it perfectly, Tom, which is being an employee is traditionally thought as being very safe, right? The people who are supposedly risk averse. But for many people, being an employee is one of the riskiest things you can do because you have absolutely no control over your future. Literally no control. You get a paycheck every week.
I can have, as a business owner, I can have thousands of clients. If one fires me, it's not the end of the world. But boy, if that one client of mine as an employee fires me, I'm in the world of hurt. And a lot of people found that out in the last year and a half. So, I think there's just this contemplation of risk. I think that's something that is something that we actually control. I think we control risk a lot more than we think. I think in some cases we control it less, in some cases we can control it more. So we got to include risk, perspective. So what's I?
I is independence. And most people, whether they realize it or not, are dependent on either an idea or other people. And not because they necessarily believe in the other people or they believe in the idea, but it's just kind of the way that they've been conditioned, right? It's kind of that thing we talked about in the beginning of like your why. And a lot of people are either dependent on a job, right, but don't realize how much risk they're taking, or they follow the troops because that's where everyone seems to be marching. But the folks who really take the time, you know, to walk an independent path, so that it could be an entrepreneur who takes a risk that others don't see, or they may be willing to bet it all because they think, you know, they can stand alone. They don't care what other people think about them. You know, when you lift that weight from your shoulders and you're willing to kind of stand out and say, you know what, I actually disagree with everybody. This is a complete minority opinion. I know 99 out of 100 people think I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is what I believe. Those are the people who tend to get ahead. They're not necessarily always right, just because you have a counterintuitive a narrative that's different, that you're necessarily the right one. But the people who can walk an independent path and they think freely and independently for themselves are the ones who have courage to stand up and challenge the status quo, are the ones who get ahead.
No, I like that. And, you know, certainly Robert Kiyosaki would be a perfect example of that, right? Here's somebody who has bucked the trends ever since he started. And I can honestly tell you, I don't think he cares what other people think. He is truly independent because he goes, look, why would I want to depend on somebody else? You know, why would I want to do that? I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, why would I want to depend on something happening or on the government, even worse? You know, why would I want to depend on this organization that barely functions in the first place? Or why do I want to, you know, depend on something happening? Well, if this happened, that'd be great. If I get a promotion, that'd be great. As opposed to that independent thinking of that's your self-determination, right? Is that independent thinking?
Absolutely. It's self-determination. And it's also, you know, as you said, Robert Kiyosaki being an example, you know, when you don't care what other people think, I mean, think about how much better your life is, right? I mean, you're not worrying what so-and-so said at work or what your boss thinks or how much your money your neighbor has. If you think of all the worries that people have on a daily basis that kind of inhibit their own personal growth, once you can remove that, I mean, you feel obviously a physical weight off your shoulders, but the emotional and the mental investment people make worrying what other people think about them, you know, evaluate yourself, right? I mean, you know, give feedback to yourself that's honest, but you don't need other people to tell you whether you're good or you're bad. Think independently and freely, I think, is the best way to operate.
Awesome. Perfect. And S. So we're to S.
S is about self-awareness. It's very similar to some of the things we just talked about, but it really challenges each of us to kind of look inward. And I think a lot of people will focus on the exterior, right? Here are all the things I'm wonderful at. But we don't spend enough time kind of reflecting and understanding ourselves, not necessarily to put ourselves down. You know, I think between strengths and weaknesses, people say try to balance both. I think people should just focus on their strengths. Doesn't mean you can't identify your weaknesses or try to get a certain baseline, but you don't have to be amazing at everything, right? I mean, everybody has weaknesses. If you need to step up your public speaking, okay, great, do that. But you know, if you have 20 weaknesses and 20 strengths and your time is limited, focus more on your strengths because that's where you're going to win. But self-awareness is also about just understanding who you are, right? What makes you tick? What motivates you? What excites you? What are you afraid of? What are you fearful of, right? The more you understand yourself, and again, that's not an easy exercise to do. It's not just, you know, spending 5 minutes doing it. It's really, you know, what Peter Drucker has called a mirror test. It's really looking in the mirror and understanding, you know, who is Tom? Who is Zach? Once you understand more about yourself, it's so much easier to win, right? You know yourself so much better. You know what makes you tick, what doesn't make you tick, what drives you. And I think the people who are willing to take that risk, again, to be vulnerable, those are the people that get ahead in the lemonade life.
You know, it's interesting. We hear a lot about transparency these days, right? The internet has caused transparency and we're looking for transparency in organizations. We're looking for transparency in government. We're looking for transparency. And yet most of us forget that transparency begins with us, right? Well, we're not even willing to look at transparency within ourselves. We're not transparent to ourselves, let alone to everybody else. What's really interesting is when you combine that independence and that that self-awareness, then what happens is that being vulnerable is not a big deal because you're not really vulnerable because you don't care, right? So it doesn't matter because you're independent. It doesn't matter that other people know what you already know. But I think what we're most afraid of is other people pointing things out that we don't know about ourselves. And it's that risk, frankly, it's that risk of of somebody finding, you know, pointing out the spinach in between our teeth, right? Or the dandruff on our shoulder that we haven't seen. It's that kind of risk that I think we tend to be scared of. And if we're truly self-aware, it seems like that kind of, you know, that goes away. I mean, then it's okay to be transparent.
Absolutely. If you're transparent with yourself, you wouldn't care what other people think, right? In the examples that you gave, and you can beat them to the punch, right? When you have more confidence to understand who you are, it's irrelevant what other people are pointing out in your flaws, because you don't have to worry about being vulnerable, because as you said, it doesn't really exist.
In sales training, one of the things we always learn in sales training, I know it's odd that a CPA got sales trained, but I spent 20 years getting sales training, is that what you really want to do is you want to put out the objection before it's ever raised, right? And that's that transparency. Well, you may be worried about this. Oh, it's not just me that's worried about it. Yeah. And here's how we've dealt with that. So once that transparency goes out, once we see it in ourselves, it's a lot easier to solve. And frankly, it's a lot easier. You don't have to explain yourself. I love that about this self-awareness is once you get there, not a lot to explain.
That's right. You've got it.
All right. So what's the M?
M is all about motion. And so, you know, we can talk all day about the first four switches. But until you actually do the work, right, there's no shortcuts to greatness. You have to do the work if you want to get from the lemon life to the lemonade life. And so I walk through different ways that you can achieve that, but you got to be in motion. People who live the lemonade life, I call them daring disruptors in the book, are people who are proactive, right? Life's not going to come to you. You have to go grab life by the horns. And it takes time. It takes effort. Again, there's no shortcuts to greatness. Anyone who's achieved anything, you know, besides winning the lottery, has achieved it on their own accord and their own effort. And that's from every entrepreneur to folks who've excelled working for somebody else. And without that hard work and that investment, it's very hard to come by success, however you define it.
I love that. And I really love, Zach, that really the first four of those steps are all about who are you, right? And it's only the last step that's due. You can't not do it, right? You got to do all that stuff. Unfortunately, I think most of the books we read, most of the people we listen to, they are all about the do, right? And they say, well, you do this, you do that, right? These are the how-to books, right? As opposed to how-to-be books. And it seems to me like The Lemonade Life, this is a how-to-be book. And then, okay, then you do it. But until we know who we are, until we have that, that why, you know, until we've got that transparency, we've assessed risk, we're independent, et cetera. To me, none of the do matters. Okay. Because we're just going to be treading water.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the first four steps, as easy as they are, also take work, right? It takes a lot of work and courage to go through perspective and think about risk and independence, self-awareness, right? Those are exercises, which I talk about in the book, in ways that you can do it. But again, you have to do the work, and it's incumbent upon each person to do it. And I talk about the Lemonade Life being the world's most exclusive club, but everyone has access to it, right? All of us can do this. We don't have to be stuck being an eternal excuser or some of the other characters you meet in the book, like a steady settler or a change chaser, who are kind of, you know, the last category being a fake entrepreneur, someone who's always chasing the bright, shiny objects rather than, you know, creating them or actually, you know, doing the work to see it through to an exit. But yes, it's all about the work and kind of understanding who you are. And that's at the heart of Lemonade Life, as is happiness, as you talked about earlier.
I love that. Thank you, Zach. So final words, you know, if you gave us just what would be, outside of reading the book, what would be the first thing, what's the first thing people ought to do if they're really looking at going from average to excellent, you know, what's like the first one or two things that you would have them do? Practical steps.
Yeah, the first thing they need to do, I would say, is self-reflection. I mean, it's really having an honest conversation with yourself and evaluating yourself critically. Talk about all the wonderful things you've done that you feel that you have, that you've done. Talk about the things you'd like to have in life, right? I mean, don't be shy. And try to make them as specific as possible. I think when you articulate specifically what you want, not just I want to be rich, but, you know, I want to live in this house that has this many bedrooms on this street in this city. Here's the address. Here's what the color of the house. Here's what the interior looks like. The more you can be specific about the goals that you have, the better. And then I think on the flip side, you want to understand, you know, what are you not good at, right? I talked about that earlier. You still want to identify your weaknesses and what you're not good at, but just don't spend your time there. I think people spend a lot of time, you know, not wanting to understand their weaknesses or trying to get better at their weaknesses, and they kind of like overextend themselves, right? Like, figure out what you're actually good at, right? Figure out where you think your core competencies are. Spend your efforts there. And do you enjoy it is another thing too. If someone's average in their job, they probably don't have the skills or they've misidentified what they actually care about and what they're good at. Everyone's good at something and everyone can enjoy work. I mean, I'm sure you wake up every day and love what you do. I mean, I certainly do. And I think that, you know, people who do that and understand themselves better are going to excel. So if you want to go from average to excellent, understand who you are, what you want, and make sure that what you're doing currently matches that. And if it doesn't, start to identify the things that you enjoy that you think you could transition to. That's what I think the first step is.
You know what? I love that, Zach. Thank you so much. I love your emphasis on focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. I'm a huge, huge believer in that. I can hire other people to deal with my weaknesses. I don't need me to be great at everything, because guess what? We can't be. Instead of being pretty good at everything, why not choose those things that we can actually be great at? Because like you say, we're going to love those. It's going to get us up in the morning. You know, people constantly ask me, how can you possibly get excited about taxes? I'm going, because it is great. It is fascinating stuff. I love it. We're going to make this simple. We're going to make this effective. We're going to do this. And that's what makes it fun, right? So thank you, Zach Friedman. Where do we go? Not just we know your book, but where do we go to get more from you?
Well, Lemonade Life is available all over the world. Audiobook debuted at number one on Apple's bestseller chart for business books, lemonadelifebook.com. And you can grab it anywhere that you listen to audiobooks or buy books. I'm at zackfriedman.com, ZackFriedman. You can read me in Forbes almost on a daily basis. And check out the book. Let me know how you feel and what you think about it. And I'm all over social media as well at Zack A. Friedman.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I know this is not exactly what you always expect from a podcast for CPAs and financial professionals. But just remember, when we are focused on that personal development, when we are focused on why we do what we do and really the why behind the why, and then we really start to understand what are, you know, how to become independent, how to deal with those risks, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think Zach's hit it on the head in the book, because it's really personal development before success, not personal development, you know, just as a pastime. This is what creates our success. And frankly, my experience is this is what creates the better clients, the better practice, and the better life. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealthability for CPA show. Better clients, better practice, better life. To learn more, go to wealthability.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.